Welcome to episode 17 of the Stumptown Vegans podcast. I'm Jess.
And I'm Webley.
And we are joining you here today to talk about what's going on. We're going to be talking a little catch-up between ourselves about some current events and current news in veganism and some Portland culinary happenings. So, Webley, why don't you start? You had a restaurant you wanted to talk about.
Sure, and we should just note that today won't be quite as formulaic. Not that our podcasts are ever formulaic. I guess I should say structured as normal. You had mentioned a restaurant up by me in North Portland that some of your friends had gone to where they had made some vegan cream cheese.
It was the sushi.
Yeah, it's a sushi restaurant. It's on
Denver?
It's on Denver, but it's just north of Rosa Parks.
Yes, my friends were recently raving about
that. Yeah, and I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but...
Sushi something. It is!
It starts with U. It's like...
Yukiyu?
Something. I always want to say like ukulele, but it's totally not what it is. Anyway, it's...
Is it back in your favor, Webley?
It's what?
Is it back in your favor?
Well, let me first say that since it's in my neighborhood, I frequent it. Or we did when we first moved in, but, it kind of fell out of our graces for a while. The food just wasn't all that great. As time went on, it was just, you know, we'd ask if something could be made vegan, and they would just say no. So no teriyaki tofu would be made vegan, no yakisoba would be made vegan, and the sushi was pretty much, like, pickled daikon and avocado. You know, kind of your basic stuff, which is fine, but, you know, vegans want variety and flavor, right?
And it's always sad when you don't like your local restaurants.
Yeah, it's sad. So you had mentioned that one of your friends had gone there and they were really excited they had vegan cream cheese.
You just made a face.
Basically, I made a face. I was just like, ah. We had pretty much written the place off. But on your recommendation, third-party recommendation, we decided to go back, and it was okay. I mean, they had a roll called the Vegan Volcano, I think is what it was called, and, you know, it was interesting. It was a roll, it had, like, some mango, it had avocado, cilantro, which was a surprise to me, pulled that one out, and I think that the carrots and maybe another vegetable of sorts, and then it's rolled, and then on top of it had... like a slab of tofu, and then I guess there's cream cheese in the middle too. There's like a slab of tofu on the top, and then some hot sauce and like vegan mayo.
That sounds pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Like a volcano, if you will.
I have no idea what it has to do with the volcano, but there were a lot of different flavors in there. The textures weren't as varied as I would like it to be, but in terms of like a nice vegan roll, it's pretty awesome. But
do they always have a vegan menu, or...?
No, they don't have a vegan menu at all.
I think they do on their website now.
Interesting, because when we were there, we asked what was vegan, and they pretty much pointed to just the sushi and then the volcano.
Maybe I'm crazy and we're not talking about the same place, but I looked at the website a couple weeks ago, and they had a vegan link on it.
Wow.
Or, like, a vegan page, rather.
That's surprising. But one thing that is different is that there were a lot more people in there than there normally are. So my guess is that they're under new management and people are a little bit happier.
And you're a little bit happier.
A little bit. But, you know, it was $10 for the vegan avocado or vegan volcano roll.
Is it enough to feed one or two, or what do you think? I know you're with the big eater when you go, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. But you always don't just want sushi. Maybe you want something else. I won't be going back for a while.
Interesting.
But, you know, it's nice to know that they're trying.
And how is the vegan cream cheese? What do you think of it?
It was so minimal within there, you couldn't even really taste it.
Boring.
Yeah, I tasted the mango in there a little bit more than the cream cheese. And then when you're looking at the textures, you've got the avocado and you've got the cream cheese, and those are pretty much the same texture. The mango was really smushy, so it wasn't that much of a difference, and the carrots were a little bit crunchy. So there didn't seem like it got all the different textures within a typical traditional sushi roll.
Hmm. Have you been in Bamboo Sushi yet?
Where's that?
It's on 28th, a couple blocks below Burnside, East Side.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know they do. I know they can be a bit more creative.
That was like 4 or 5 years ago. I went there.
Oh, probably when they first opened.
I remember it was just really fantastic in terms of flavor. They were rolled really well, but they were expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $10 for a 6-piece.
Yeah, I remember it being expensive. I only went once, and it's been years. That keeps meaning to go back.
Yeah. I know.
But you do have to overcome that mental thing of paying a little bit more money for sushi.
Yeah, in terms of Japanese, I've been really interested. I've been going to, forgotten it all of a sudden, the place on Interstate, Miho Isakara?
I've never been there. I know what you're talking about.
We call it Miso. It's across the street from the Alibi. And they don't have sushi at all, but it's Japanese food, and it's just fantastic. There's nothing I've had that I have not loved.
Have you been to Biwa yet?
No, I have not.
You should check it out. I went for dinner there a few weeks ago again, and their ramen is just so good.
Yeah. See,
or their udon, rather. Sorry, I'm phrasing the wrong thing. But it's just like a really pleasant broth and just like fantastic, like, soft noodles and like chewy fried tofu from Oda.
Yeah.
Delicious.
We should let our listeners know that since I'm gluten-free now, officially.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's kind of put a damper on enjoying things like noodles when I'm eating out that aren't box noodles. It's been really sad. And it's definitely changed the way that I look at eating out.
It's interesting, yeah. I have to say. I mean, I have recent nut and banana allergies now the past few months.
I'm glad I gave my banana allergies to you because it was so inconvenient.
I'm putting a lot more frozen tropical fruit in my smoothies now.
Yeah.
And kiwi. I like kiwi.
Mm.
I do have to ask now about nuts, and this morning I was eating some pancakes, and afterwards my mouth got tingly, and I'm like, there could have been almond meal, or walnut milk, or something in this.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when it comes to nuts, and gluten, and dairy, people are a lot more open to telling you what's in there, because those are generally severe allergies. Mm-hmm. When you have some weird allergies, like I have, that, you know, like, sure, my throat will close up a little bit, or I'll have, like, a delayed reaction. It's not something that's going to kill me immediately. I'm just going to feel terrible, like, the next day.
Yeah, that's how mine kind of are so far.
Yeah. So, like, when I ask for, like, no black pepper, it's like, they're just going to think that I'm a picky eater, you know? And it's not that I'm going to feel like crap the next day, or, like, have this gigantic headache in 2 hours. Like, they, you know, they just don't think it's that big of a deal. When you say, like, no nuts, you're like, oh, she could die. We should have to call an ambulance, and it'll be in the newspaper, and it'll be bad.
I do feel special. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad you can see it that way.
When I was at Seattle Veg Fest last weekend, and there was no labeling in regards to special allergies.
Really?
And most of it was vegetarian as well, and there was
What?
A bit of lack of labeling with that as well, so, and under informed volunteers, and they were great volunteers, but there was only a couple tables where there was actual sign that said vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah, it seems like our Veg Fest is mainly vegan.
It's been all vegan the past 2 years.
I can't think of anything that wasn't vegan.
So. No, I mean, their rule is they are not allowing vegan
That's
products
awesome.
And samples there.
Doesn't mean you still don't get gut rot when you leave there sampling 15 different things.
The Portland Veg Fest is, I have to say, it's gotten one up on the Seattle one.
Well, we'll just leave it at that. I won't say anything against Seattle. But what have you been up to?
You know, I've been really busy working on projects. I'll talk a little bit more, but, you know, we just found a date and a location for the Vegan Iron Chef in July, on July 10th. So.
July 10th. So, and where is it at?
It's going to be at Refuge in Inner Southeast, where the Portland Zine Symposium is going to be as well for a change.
And I think their dates are the July 17th and 18th?
Yeah, I knew it was afterwards, but...
It's in July, or excuse me, August.
I don't know.
I think it's August, Anyway, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So there's going to be some chefs being invited in the next couple of weeks. And it's exciting to have the date so the rest of the work can happen. So.
Well, maybe one of the chefs, or maybe the chef that wins, will write a cook zine and sell it at the Portland Zine Symposium.
Perhaps. Maybe they won't leave town this year. So.
chase them out of town.
So what's been new with you, Webley? I know we've been, again, this is Webley and I catching up as well.
Because
we get to steal lunch every now and then, but that's about it.
I'm just so domestic. I've been cooking a lot at home just because of my allergies. I mean, don't want to bore people.
How's your gluten-free baking going?
It's going a little bit better.
You have favorites or flours combos?
You know, I used to combine things, but I've been doing mainly just rice flour right now. And I'm enjoying just working with one flour as opposed to the mix a little bit more.
Interesting.
But I've been making some awesome peanut butter gluten-free cookies. And I think that they're some of the best vegan peanut butter cookies I've had, let alone gluten-free.
Interesting. I have memories of eating some of the worst rice flour cookies of my life when I had a gluten-free, I'm sorry, give me the actual term. the more severe term for it?
Oh, celiac, right? Yeah.
Okay. Cousins. So I've been familiar with, you know, gluten-free my whole life.
Yeah.
The poor kid had to eat rice cake pizzas during the year.
So but sad.
My mom would make these just flat as all hell chocolate chip rice flour cookies. Just, ugh.
Yeah.
Don't make those.
I mean, I won't make them. I probably made them, actually. It takes a while to tweak with the recipe.
Well, it's an adventure. Yeah,
actually.
Progress.
My sister was just in Salt Lake, and my friend Kelly owns a vegan bakery there called Cakewalk. And she brought back some gluten-free cookies for me. And they were just sugar cookies, and they had, like, white frosting on top of them. But they tasted so much like those Mothers with the pink icing on the top. It was surprising.
I've never had one of those, but I know
people.
Yeah, well, they're not it's a regional thing.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, I grew up on those in high school. Those are like that was my lunch, that and fries. You know, because it's a vegetarian. What are you going to eat in school?
Yeah.
Pink cookies, apparently. No, but they're really good. And
I would say Swedish fish, but.
Oh, no, that wasn't until college. Very healthy. But no, Cakewalk, I tried some other things from Cakewalk, and that was pretty awesome. Like, they had their Dillos, which are they're Twinkies. They're selling them here at Food Fight now.
Yeah, I had one of those from Sidecar last week.
Were they fresh? Was it okay?
I wouldn't get one again.
Yeah. I think it's...
I think it's definitely that freshness thing, but maybe there's not enough... I don't know. And I don't want to be like, put more preservatives in it, so it'll be better for me 2 days later.
Well, it's like you're making it in Salt Lake and you're eating it in Portland. Even if it's like 2 days later, it's not going to be the best thing.
Absolutely. So that's why I'm not going to give real comments on that.
Yeah, mine was, you know, I should say it was like on the airplane for a couple of hours. And so it's a little bit more fresh, but, you know, I had some cookies and some cupcakes and, oh gosh, they had like a peanut butter bomb cupcake. So good. Kelly's doing some awesome stuff there. So if you're ever in Salt Lake, definitely check out. You know, next time you go to Salt Lake, Jess.
I will.
I don't think you've ever been there, have you?
No, I haven't. Transferred maybe flights.
Yeah, could be for the best.
Well, I just tried a gluten-free donut yesterday.
Where was that at?
New gluten-free line. Well, they're all gluten-free now. Petunia's Pastries, which I've been a fan of for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all gluten-free now, all vegan. I tried one of her new cake gluten-free donuts that she debuted last weekend.
Is it worth it?
At the farmer's market. Gotta say, not worth it.
Yeah.
I hate to be negative again, I'm just, like, all praising Petunia's items, like wow, honestly. But the gluten-free donut...
It's hard.
Even for the gluten-free, I wouldn't...
Yeah.
It's kind of like eating a harder version of those Nutrilicious donuts from years ago. The ones in the packages.
Gosh, I forgot about those. Yeah.
That you would eat, and you'd be like, why am I eating this?
I need
and then
water.
You would actually stop eating it because you realize it's one of those few moments where you make that realization as a vegan that you don't have to eat this just because it's labeled whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think there's potential there, and the icing was really good, like a cinnamon glaze on it.
Interesting.
But, I mean, if I had had a cup of coffee with it, it would have been more manageable. But
to dunk it in there to get some more.
Try it again in a few months.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thing about being vegan. When you first go vegan, you want to try anything that's labeled vegan, right? Same, kind of the same with being gluten-free. And you try it, and you're just like, this is crap. But it's because your taste buds and your ideas of what a gluten, or, you know, what a bread product is, hasn't quite changed yet.
Definitely.
Because you haven't gotten rid of that old past, like, Wonder white bread, you know, that's all super fluffy.
Your taste buds have to evolve.
I think it's more for gluten-free. I think it's more about, like, your muscle, or not your muscle, but, like, your memory just, like, forgetting about, like, Dave's Killer Bread and, like, all the delicious nuttiness that there is in there.
I mean, we could go on a rant about the standards of vegans and whatnot, and then I could start complaining about Daya again.
All
but
those young
I
kids.
Did try their Pepper Jack.
Oh, yeah?
Have you tried this yet,
mm-hmm,
or...?
No.
I have to say, I'll give them credit for, you know, going out there with the flavor. It is very black peppery. Sorry, lovely.
I'll stay away from
and
it.
And spicy, but I still think it's disgusting. So.
I've turned on Daya, and I like it.
Really?
And it scares me that I like
it.
Oh,
you turn this way.
Yeah.
I see. I just talked to two people who turned the other way.
That they don't like it anymore?
Big Daya fans, and then they just switched.
Interesting. I wonder what happened. I guess I took their spot. Kind of like how you took my banana allergy with me.
It's a good thing we can share. But speaking of the word vegan being labeled on everything, you want to talk a bit about veganism in the mainstream media these days? Because I hear it's popular.
Oh, geez. Sexy
vegetarian what? It's all vegan, vegan, vegan.
I know. It's kind of nice that it's changed a little bit more. You know, Oprah did a show about veganism a while back, and Martha Stewart just did one this past week, I think it was.
Yeah, Kathy Freston, right?
Yeah, and they were both with her.
Oh, I see.
Isn't that the interesting thing? See, so, you know, I should say, I've seen the Oprah one.
I know she was the one on Oprah a few years ago, I know. So I'd had to think, like, how do I know this Kathy Freston? Is she with the restaurant? Is she have books that I know? And I actually am not familiar with her books.
I wasn't either. Her book is called The Veganista, which I really dislike.
Why? It's not veganish enough for you? Is she too blonde? No offense to Kathy herself. Like, Kathy, I don't know you. I would like to meet you.
No,
but
just kidding. I don't know. I just don't like... It just seems like you put yourself out there too much when you're like, I'm the veganista. Like, it's almost like I am speaking for the entire vegan community.
Exactly.
And I just kind of found that off-putting. But what was interesting is that she was on both Oprah show and the Martha Stewart show. And it seemed like maybe they should have gotten a different guest.
She doesn't even own vegan.com.
Who owns it?
Oh, Eric Marcus, probably. Oh, vegan.com. Yeah. Sorry, Dad.
But the Oprah show... I don't know, Oprah bothers me as much as I think that she's great for some of the things that she's done, and, you know,
they're talking about the popular issues.
Yeah.
We're popular right now, Webley. You have to accept it. Veganism, people perhaps are seeing things in a different light, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, there was a guest on that talked about Happy Meat quite a bit, which is kind of frustrating. One thing I didn't like, I'm going to say many things I didn't like, so I should quit saying one thing.
On the Oprah show, right?
Now? On the Oprah show, yeah. They talked about doing this radical change for 7 days. It's like, you know, both on you and I don't think that veganism is that radical. But it is, I understand it can be for some people. When they talk about things as being radical, it's off-putting to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even just that word radical. Unless you're talking like, that was a radical slam, dude.
Right? Well, I know a lot of vegans have issues with, you know, veganism being seen as, like, the health cure or as a cleanse.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not? But, you know, you have to... There's only so much you can change just in the mainstream media right now, and that's popular. So, you know, you have to just kind of go with it and then show the other sides of it. I don't like being called a health fad myself, like, at all.
Yeah. And Kathy kept talking about how much weight people can lose by going vegan.
Which is wonderful.
And it's just like, how much weight have I gained since being vegan? Let's talk about that.
Well, you're also
that.
A restaurant reviewer.
There's that too. One thing that was good, or another thing that was good, was they showed some factory farm stuff. And it didn't go as far as it needed to go, but it showed some graphic stuff for being on daytime television. It was pretty surprising. They didn't show, like, a cow being killed, but they did show, like, the cow being skinned. And one of the most gruesome things for me was, like, seeing the cow's paws, hooves being chopped off. Yeah. It just reminds you, like, that sort of thing. It's like, maybe it's because I grew up in a hunting family and I've seen plenty of dead deer hanging on my swing set, like, being their skins being ripped off of them. But it's like when you start, like, cutting off their legs and, like, piecing them up, it's interesting because it's, you know, you're disassembling it. But you get it to this point where it's so disassembled you don't even recognize it as an animal anymore. So it's that initial parts of chopping the animal up that it's just like, wow.
It's a realization that, you know, I would say, speak for both of us, we want more people to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Be aware of what's going on in your life and in your body and what you're eating in society.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't...
Did I cover everything?
I think you did. I don't normally watch those sorts of videos just because they upset me quite a bit. It's like I've seen a couple here and there, but for some reason the other day I watched this one about wool. As a vegan, I don't buy new wool. But if there is something that has wool on it that's used, I might acquire it. But it's not something I go after because, well, I'm allergic to wool. So it's something that's, like, removed. You know, like, if I buy a bag or something that has, like, a used bag that has wool on it. There was this video, and it was showing, like, how the lambs that they use for wool. And you've probably seen that. It's just like, how many skins, like, flaps of skin they have and just how they're treated. But, like, it's not just that. It's harvesting the wool is one thing, but it's what happens to the animals afterwards. Like, this specific one was showing the lambs being sent to the Middle East for food because they eat a lot of lamb meat over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically put all these sheep on boats, and it's funny to think about, like, a cruise of, like, sheep going across the ocean, but, you know, they're all compact in there and it's terrible, and they're throwing them overboard whenever they're dying. And you know, stories of, like, U.S. Marine ships, like, wanting to stay away from these ships because they smell so incredibly bad.
I think I saw a zombie movie that started like that.
Possibly.
I'm trying to detach myself from the horror of the situation right now.
Yeah.
So.
But when you're... by supporting wool, you're supporting these animals. Like, even if you're, if it's happy wool or whatever, it's grown in a humane way, this, these sheep are still sent over overseas to be killed in ways that are not humane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't even go into the details, but they're not always dead when they're doing whatever they're doing to them, you know? And so it's why you think that something's happy while you're supporting this sort of happy milk. Who knows what happens at the end of that cow's life when it goes on?
Exactly. I mean, ugh. You have a basic debate of vegetarians versus vegans right there, Webley.
I'll take them on. No, it's just, you know, it's saddening, but it's the truth, and a lot of people just want to bury their heads in it. It's something that my husband and I have been dealing with, kind of going on to a different topic. We've been looking at bringing a new soul into our life, a little puppy dog, since we lost both of ours last year. And we've been talking about the difference between, well, he hasn't been wanting to talk about the difference between kill and no-kill shelters. And it's a hard thing to talk about, because do you support the no-kill shelters because they're doing fantastic things? Or do you buy from a shelter, like a kill shelter, because you know that...
Did you want to save someone?
Yeah.
And what's those decisions you have to make in your personal life before there's something mandated.
It's been a hard thing for me to deal with lately. But we're looking forward to bringing a new dog in. But back to the Oprah show. I'm sure Oprah had a show about dogs. Yeah, another thing about the Oprah show is that they focused a lot on processed food.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, I guess if you're trying to reach that audience that's buying a lot of processed food already, why don't you just substitute it for this other piece of crap?
Exactly. And so then with the rising popularity of veganism comes the commercialization of veganism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
I just wanted to get my sound bites done for today.
Are you done yet?
I've got a few more. Go on.
I don't know. So have you heard any backlash about the Oprah vegan show?
Oh, absolutely.
What have
absolutely.
You heard?
I've heard more backlash about the second show you'll talk about.
The Martha Stewart show?
Yes. Just in regards to that, I mean, just in regards to that she didn't do more and that she seemed to, like, fluff over a lot of things.
Yeah. But...
Again, I didn't watch it, but you should tell me what Webley's backlash is.
You want people to go far enough, and I'm a very black and white person, and I'm not vegetarian for a reason, and I'm a vegan for a reason. Like, it's either you do something or you don't mm-hmm. do something, and she did something, who knows what it was supposed to be in the beginning, and this, like, what it came into was something that was kind of in the gray area,
mm-hmm.
but that's what mainstream media is, right?
Exactly. I mean, you have, veganism is a counterculture movement,
yeah,
and you have it getting popular,
yeah,
so you're gonna have people on both sides, resisting and just I was explaining it to someone recently how with the word vegan becoming more popular and used every day, you'll be seen on menus and you're gonna still have to ask, just like you'd have to ask if things are actually vegetarian, and not in a rude way,
what
but,
type of vegan, is this real vegan?
Exactly.
Or is this ate honey and vegan?
Exactly. So
yeah,
but go on, Webley.
You know, it's going in the right direction,
can't pick it up and move it. You can just contribute to pushing it in the right direction.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess it did its point, and it's over, and that's it. And I understand that Oprah is probably completely paranoid of being sued again by the beef industry. sorry, was it the Texas cattle ranchers?
I believe so.
Or the beef industry altogether? I forget who it was.
Cows. I'm forgetting his name as well. And
the cows didn't sue her. It's the people that were killing the cows, right? But, I mean, overall, it is what it is. I think they could have gone further. They could have done something different, but... For mainstream media, I guess it's a decent compromise.
Well, I want you to talk about your lady now.
My lady.
Talk about your lady friend. How'd she do?
Do you know much about it?
I've seen some clips from it, and I've seen some write-ups, like the write-up on Vegansaurus about it, which I thought was really great, but I haven't seen the actual show yet.
Okay,
I know about the controversy.
So let's first say we're talking about the Martha Stewart's show. So she did a vegan show. And
her daughter's vegan now.
I thought she was a vegetarian.
Apparently she's vegan now.
Oh, awesome.
So, big influence there, perhaps.
Yeah, and I should say, I am a fan of Martha Stewart. I completely fear her, but I think that she's done some great things.
She's a great businesswoman.
Oh, gosh, you just don't want to work with her. she had Biz Stone on, the founder of Twitter. I had no idea he was vegan.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting. And then she also had... Kathy Freston on as well, the veganista.
I just call her the pretty blonde.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty blonde lady. Pretty Blonde cooks vegan.
Is that what she responds to?
No, I have no idea. Again, Kathy Freston, I don't mean offense, and I vegans love vegans. But I saw the book at Whole Foods like last month, and it was just when I first was seeing her. You know, it was just after the Oprah show or so.
Yeah.
And it was just like this beautiful cover, and it's like this beautiful blonde woman. And then it said, you know, with a smile. And then it said vegan. And I'm like, whoa, that's, who is this? Well, super.
That's how you get vegan ahead, right?
So exactly. Exactly. Spokespeople. And hey, I've been blonde. I'm not opposed. So.
What about Ellen? Ellen's blonde, right?
Yeah, she is blonde. That's another popular vegan who's pretty awesome and a CoverGirl now. So, although I don't know if their products are vegan.
CoverGirl? I have no idea. You know what's vegan?
What?
Not wearing makeup.
You know, Wet n Wild, I think all their stuff is vegan now.
What's that?
I mean, it's just like a cheap brand of makeup.
Like I said.
I don't have any makeup on right now besides nail polish. That's all chipped.
Your lips are pretty pink.
I might have had it on last night and not showered well enough.
Wow.
Lovely conversation with the Stumptown Vegans here. But Webley, tell me more about the Martha Stewart show and this incident that it's referring to.
Let me first say that they did a segment on the Farm Sanctuary, which was pretty cool.
Yes.
Again, I haven't seen it, but from what I understand, it's cool.
I heard Gene Bauer stole the show as usual.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
I hate to say that about a vegan or anything.
So they made seitan with this stone. And I looked at the recipe. It looks, I don't know, looks pretty good, I guess. But they use packaged seitan.
Oh, interesting.
Seitan's so easy to make, you would think.
Especially for Martha Stewart.
Yeah, you would think that she'd be all over it. I mean, it's just like wheat gluten and some yeast and other spices, right?
You got it.
Anyway, and then... Do you know what she made with Kathy?
The granola bars?
She made some granola bars.
Let's talk about this slowly.
Slow it down. So first she put in some apple chips. And then it was oats. And then cherries. And then, I have no idea really what all went into the recipe, but I do know that at the end, she put in honey.
Do you think that Kathy Freston knew? Because I heard she looked surprised, but didn't say anything. Which I get, because it's live TV, and that's Martha Stewart, and she'll kill you, but...
She won't kill you on the air, she'll kill you after.
Exactly,
I heard the story of somebody that was going on Martha Stewart, and she came out, like, one side, and Martha came out the other side, and they were, like, waiting just a couple of seconds before, you know, the cameras actually turned on. And Martha goes, "What happened to your nails?" And this woman was just like, "Oh," and just, like, hit her nails. Because she had, like, just gotten them done, like, for the show. She had never had her nails done in her entire life and, like, got them done for the show because she was going to be, like, you know, doing hand stuff with Martha Stewart, possibly, like, close-up cameras. And she was, like, all excited and happy. Comes out, Martha, like, gives her, like, this one, like, she's, like, really quick, like, "That's bad." And she was just, like, crushed. And so, that's just the way that Martha, from this story, not saying that's what it actually is... But she, you know, just puts that person in their place. And she's just like, "I'm number one, you're number seven."
The power, jeez.
Yeah. So she put honey in the fruit bars. Some people weren't very happy about that. Can you imagine? Do you know why?
Well, I hear that honey's not vegan. What? I do not consume honey.
What?
It is an animal product. It comes from a living insect.
But it's just puke. Come on, Jess. It's just puke.
I know. I mean, you just want to give the bees sugar water instead. It'll be fine. They can sustain on sugar water.
You know what's interesting about the recipe, though? I looked it up online, and while I don't remember everything that was in the recipe, because I just remember seeing, like, wheat germ, and, you know, wheat just kind of, like, falls out of my head when it's a recipe. It's kind of like meat at this point, now that I'm gluten-free. It's like, you see meat in something, you just kind of, like, skim over it, like, okay, that's a dead thing, I don't eat it. Like, you know, whatever it is, I'm not going to make that. Anyway... When it said, it was like 2 tablespoons of honey or something, and it said rice syrup or honey.
Oh, interesting. So it's been updated since then,
I don't know. It actually said rice syrup first, before it said honey.
Well, I'm glad that's updated. Vegan. But
it was an old recipe, though. It was from a magazine a couple years ago.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I mean, I've heard that, you know, the controversy is that Kathy Freston didn't say anything, but I understand it's live air, and this is Martha Stewart we're talking about. Perhaps she's already blogged about how she didn't say something and how honey's not vegan by now. I don't know. I mean, I know everyone, you know, wants to nitpick things, but I mean, certainly, did she eat one? That's my question.
I don't know. I didn't.
Oh, it wasn't a live tasting, so.
Another thing that's interesting is that they made something that was very much a whole food. So it was like nuts and fruit and apparently honey as a binder, as opposed to this processed food that was on
let's use gimme lean sausage balls.
Yeah. And so it's interesting that they kind of did the two different ends, and you hear people say different things like, oh, well, Martha Stewart made something that it looks very vegan, right? It looks very healthy. It's not taking your normal cookie recipe and just, like, cutting out the eggs.
Exactly.
But, you know, whatever. You pick one side to go for or the other.
Yeah, I've heard that there's a lot of notable vegans in the audience. So, oh, were there? Very interesting people. I wonder if Jasmine Singer of our hen house was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard that there was gasps in the audience when the honey came up. I don't think that quite made that onto air.
Do you think Martha Stewart did it on purpose?
I have no idea.
I mean, you know, PR stunt?
What do you think?
Drama? I think she could sell it like she did.
She could if she wanted to. I mean, she can do whatever she wants. Like, that woman, I fear that woman. Like,
well, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do now if the Food Network finally does a vegan show?
That'll be interesting.
Hopefully. I mean, I just hope there's vegetables on it.
So. That's true. You know, I think that Martha Stewart has done some pretty good things in terms of vegetarianism. Like, I remember watching one of her Thanksgiving shows a couple of years ago, and she was talking about making stuffing and putting chicken stock into it. And she said, oh, but we want to make sure that we reserve this amount and we use vegetable stock in it in case you have any vegetarians coming to dinner. So I really appreciated that she would say things like that.
Because I feel like I've seen that in the magazine every now and then. Yeah. Every now and then.
Like, her daughter was vegetarian, apparently now she's vegan. And so it's just cool that she would note these sorts of things. Or if you're going to do this, you know, maybe you substitute this cheese with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just leave this cheese out altogether. I think that's pretty cool about Martha Stewart.
How's that? Yeah, I'll agree.
But she uses a ton of eggs and everything. You gave me a cookie book of hers for my birthday a couple years ago. And, man,
and I hear someone's birthday's coming up again, perhaps. That's true. So I don't know.
So her cookies have like 4 eggs in them. Who puts 4 eggs in cookies?
But eggs are magic. You can't make cookies without eggs.
This is true. Why am I vegan? I love cookies.
I know. I had a moment yesterday where I was making a dough of something, and I'm like, what am I going to use for my egg replacer? Because I'm using like a normal cookbook.
Yeah.
I went for the soy yogurt.
Oh.
I know. I don't normally do that, but yeah. I went for it.
Oh, I should try that in one of my recipes. But one thing that Martha said after her show is that she was giving up beef.
That is monumental. I didn't know if that was for real or not. I'd seen that on the internet.
Yeah.
When people talked about how she was going to.
Yeah.
Or
who knows?
That's monumental right there.
I don't trust it.
I mean, I hope that her response to this, you know, if this has a negative response, that she doesn't, like, kill a cow on air. So, you know. But.
What's your idea of, like, the difference between eating, like, beef and chicken?
I think they're both awful.
I always thought it was weird how people say that they're going to give up eating beef, and then they eat, like, 10 times as much chicken.
Yeah, I think the chicken thing is even.
Or they just substitute it.
Odder. I mean, I think in terms of texture, maybe beef is a little grosser, but that's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, beef, you just are like, you know, there's something bloody going on here.
Yeah.
But in regards to chicken, that just saddens me because that's a miniature animal. Like, when people eat, like, a chicken breast, like, that's that chicken's breast.
I know.
Like, that is. So don't get me started on, like, peasant or something. Like, are you kidding me? Those are miniature animals.
Yeah. So I've been.
How selfish are you?
I've been having my head kind of in life cycle cost analysis work lately. And so I've been thinking about this in terms of veganism. And like,
go on. Rock it out, Webley.
Maybe this is a stretch and this only makes sense in my mind. But a vegan life cycle cost analysis. Or like under, or not even like cost analysis, but like a vegan LCI. So,
are you going to charge me for this advice?
Yes. So just like a vegan life cycle analysis. So if you were to look at, like, a beef, we call them cows in the United States. If you were to look at a cow, you were to look at chickens, and you're going to eat the same amount of meat in terms of pounds, doesn't it make sense to kill one cow instead of, like, 1,500 chickens? That's exaggeration.
It does.
But the amount of work that it takes to raise and make sure that those 15 chickens are staying alive.
I think just people really like chicken.
They do. They just, yeah.
And there's that obsession, and, you know, it comes from the marketing as well. But, you know, then you have, like, the farming traditions of eggs. People love eggs.
Oh, that's true. Forget about eggs. Forget that those things exist. But, I mean, if you look at cows, it takes them a long time to grow up. Like, I grew up My grandfather had a farm where he raised cows, and then someone would come and pick them up, and they'd go and get fattened for 2 months, and then they'd slaughter them, right? Luckily, I was not involved in that process. I just got to know Patches, my childhood pet cow, Patches, number 42. Patches stayed on the farm a lot longer than the other ones. My grandfather knew that my sister and I liked Patches. Anyway, they have a much better beginning life than chickens do, because chickens grow up so quickly that they're kind of, I guess they're kind of killed pretty quickly, too, in that sense, right?
Mm-hmm. No, they are, yes.
It just seems that it would take more resources to grow and keep more chickens alive than it would in terms of pounds for beef. And you're just killing one soul as opposed to 15 souls.
I think...
Am I thinking about this too much?
I think you're thinking about it a lot, and I don't want to start talking about what's in hamburger.
Is chicken in hamburger now?
TVP. Lovely. Speaking of news, if you're okay if I move on to this, unless you have more to say on that.
I guess just to wrap it up, just to say that...
Please!
I think it's great that Martha Stewart and Oprah have both done vegan shows.
And you're seeing a lot more vegan celebrities come out. I mean, celebrities who are vegan themselves or claim themselves.
Yeah, and it's for better or worse, and I just don't like that there's one person that speaks for veganism. It means something different to every person. It's not about weight loss. It's not about the environment.
Some people, it is just about one thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not just this one thing, and it's not just this one thing for everyone. It's oftentimes a combination of many different things.
But can people grasp that?
No.
But this will open the dialogue. At the very least, this will.
Unless it's for religious reasons. Mm-hmm. People won't get it.
No, I understand that. And, I think this will at least open the door to people having more conversations about it, and that's a good thing.
Definitely.
Because that'll make you realize things. And I know even the New York Times had a piece recently on, I don't know if it was like the evolution of meat eating. It was talking about, you know, is this conscious? Is this a conscious decision anymore? And that is like wild to see pop up in the New York Times.
Yeah,
so,
that's interesting.
I haven't read the full thing yet, but again, clearly I don't have time to read or watch anything. But I was going to talk in regards to news, and this is a little more of a fun, frivolous news with some hometown pride.
Let's change the topic.
Veg News had a list of like the top 10 sandwiches, and DC Veg had their chicken sub on it.
Nice.
And I know you're a fan of that one.
It used to be until it's like laden with pepper. No, it's still good, but it's completely laden
with
pepper.
Is it soy curl based? Or?
Yeah, it's soy curl based. I've been able to get it now like without bread. They'll put it like on some lettuce.
Oh, I've heard that.
Just kind of nice. And some tomatoes or something. It's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. You and I have not done a review of DC Veg.
No.
It's been on our list of things to do, and it's one of those things where the longer it goes by, the harder it is to do it.
Yeah, well, I remember when you first started writing it, like, just our opinion of that changed within, like, weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they've definitely evolved for the better.
Yeah.
I consider myself a fan of them. I don't go much because I don't eat a lot of sandwiches, and I do like the steak and cheese better, I have to say.
Good. But. No, I'm a big fan of them, and it's part of, like, this thing that... The food isn't always the greatest. It's good food. Like, it's... For lunch food, it's good. It's not anything that's, like, really crazy out there and it's gonna change you, like my favorite food cart gin, but... I also just have so much love for them. Like, I want them to do well, you know?
I think they are popular. I don't know... I mean, I usually see a few people out there when I walk by.
Oh, yeah. But there's always seems to be a line.
I mean, there's always, you know, a new card or restaurant to try. And
always. It's Portland.
I mean, it's hard because, you know, I mean, we ask, you know, if you guys have feedback, let us know. And, I mean, what you would like to see in upcoming reviews or how you would like to see them. So,
where can they do that?
You can go to StumptownVegans.com or you can tweet at StumptownVegans.
You can also email. It's kind of old school now.
I know, a little old school.
StumptownVegans@gmail.com.
We don't have a Google phone number, but yeah, StumptownVegans@gmail.com.
We do, but it's just not out there. Once the deal is, I've got to learn how to like hook that into the recording device so it's like an easy transfer. But we do have one, Jess.
I'm glad told to know you about it. But clearly, I hope it has vegan in it. So
it doesn't. I couldn't get the number.
Well, In terms of beer news, Lucky Labs beers are now vegan. They weren't for a long time, and that's one of the few microbreweries in Portland that I believe had, you know, just all non-vegan beers.
Hmm.
And every now and then you would hear about a vegan friend going, and you would warn them.
Is it the cow's blood, or is it, like, the filter?
It's the filter, okay. Yeah. So that's all vegan now. I don't know if they have vegan food, because, again, I haven't been, because they were not vegan for so long, but that's a place, you know, dog-friendly as well, Lucky
yeah.
Lab.
I think they had a vegetarian burger on the menu. Every time I've gone there,
burger.
I haven't eaten.
I know they have pizzas. I don't know.
Yeah.
Local chef and cart entrepreneur and TV host Julie Hassan has her new book out, Vegan
oh, yeah.
Diner.
It's this Tuesday is her kind of book opening?
Yes.
As in this Tuesday meaning the...
5th.
Thank you. I think what today even is.
I know it's in Southwest somewhere, so...
Yeah, it's at some bookstore in Southwest.
Some bookstore.
You know that one bookstore in Southwest?
I think there's a Borders.
I don't think so.
Is it a Borders?
I don't think so.
I feel like it would say that.
Yeah.
Well, Webley, have you been in Natural Selection yet? The rise of Alberta in a fine vegan dining in Northeast.
No, and the reason I haven't, you and I talked about this a little bit last time, it's just my allergies. It's going to a set dinner. It's hard, it's difficult that I can eat everything on the menu, and to be able to pay $35 for a meal,
mm-hmm.
and only to be able to eat half of it, if that... It's really depressing for me.
It has to
so
be
just,
on payday, if anything. I mean, at least you go to Back to Eden afterwards and stock up on some cheesecake, you know, if all goes wrong. But my friend told
yeah.
me that this is what Portland was missing.
Really?
After she went. And I think she, you know, sent me a text or something, like, right after and was just like, based on, like, these two things that she tried there alone out of five, like, that was worth it.
So we should mention what it is.
This is Natural Selection Restaurant on Alberta Street, Northeast Alberta, next to Vita. It's by the Vita owners, and it's a vegetarian set dinner type of deal, like seasonal produce.
It's 3-course or 4-course meal?
I think it's 3 or 4 course.
Do you get
know.
Alcohol with it?
No, I don't believe so. It's just, and I do actually really like the idea of not being able to choose from a menu from a chef's perspective.
I think
that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know that there is, like, attention to detail that's gone into, like, every single course of this.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't see a ton of in Portland.
Yeah.
You're
and
seeing
it's
it more in recent years with Portobello and Blossomy Lotus,
yeah.
but you
and
don't
I,
see
I
a
like,
ton of it.
I like that it's paired properly. Like, you're supposed to eat this, then I want you to eat this, mm-hmm. then I want you to eat this. I'm not saying that I don't like the idea. It's just...
No, and I...
It's just my allergies are annoying.
I'm going to have to go, like, on a payday or, like, after I've worked overtime or something so I can justify it a little more. But, yeah, I do plan on going soon.
Yes, that review is up to you, so have fun paying for 2 sessions of that one.
Yeah. All right.
Is it 35? It's 35 bucks,
I
right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I can't complain too much about that.
I mean,
I will complain, but if the quality
yeah.
matches this cost...
It's
and I'll be glad
it.
It's there.
Yeah.
And I'll go, like, once a year. Unless
very
it's that amazing.
Yeah.
Anything else interesting lately?
Green Lady. You haven't really talked about Green Lady that much.
Is it on break right now, or?
I don't know what's going on with it.
I heard it was closed for the month.
It was closed for the month of March.
Maybe
and,
from you,
and,
apparently.
Yes. Green Lady, we should say, is a restaurant in Southwest Portland. It's all raw vegan restaurant on... 10th
well, it's
and,
not all raw anymore, though. I mean, it's mostly raw.
Okay, 10th and Washington. And they were closed for the month of March. They opened in December, I believe.
That's right.
It's just a really difficult time to, one, open a restaurant, and two, open a raw restaurant. Jess and I both visited there and had different experiences. And I really want them to survive and keep going. And 'cause one...
I like to give everything a chance.
I just want businesses to do well. And
I like the idea of a green smoothie downtown.
Me too. Sorry, Jess. I just pulled a pin away from Jess. Sorry.
You guys don't know what I'm working with right now.
Stop it.
So tell me about your experience at Green Lady.
Well, I went there on April 1st, and there the painting was off the wall, off the window, and there was no sign... saying
I have a look of shock on my face.
Yes. We won't be... There was no sign saying it was closed. There was no sign saying that they weren't going to be there in March. It was just... It looked like it was all gone. I mean, not gone, but I don't know what's going on.
interesting because their Facebook is active because I'm a fan of their page or whatnot, and there are updates. And it's
what they have saying?
Just like random, you know, about music or stories. Like there is an opportunity to say our cafe is closed for now. You know, and you never know. I mean, things are crazy, especially with you know, leases downtown. I don't know what type of arrangement they had. I don't know how their business was. Yeah. But I hope they come back because I'd like to give them another shot.
Yeah. I had a raw tomato soup that I waited 20 minutes for raw tomato soup while three people in the kitchen made my meal for 20 minutes. It was really, really good, but it had a spice in it that I was allergic to.
Oh.
And so I had to stop eating it or else my throat was going to close up. And I was just like, oh, how much more can I eat until I can't breathe anymore? But it was really good.
I waited a long time for something I did not enjoy. And then I heard from another person a few days later, they ordered the same thing, and it was $3 more expensive.
Wow.
And they were just as disappointed.
Yeah, mine was like $12 for soup, tomato soup, and like a salad of mushrooms that I couldn't eat.
I mean, when it's raw cuisine, I want it to be like artisan and then complex. And especially if you can't have these crazy fresh vegetables. I mean, I just remember thinking, like, where is this tomatoes that were in my raw burger? They were, like, practically pink.
Ooh.
Why? If you
good.
Love raw food, you would know not to do that in December.
Yeah. But I had...
I had some
marinated mushrooms, which I thought that you would like.
See, and I had them, and I thought they were awful.
Oh, so they were pickled. Pickled mushrooms.
No, I didn't have pickle. I just had the spicy mushroom burger and the mushrooms inside, and they were just... It was just gross. I mean, it was marinated to the point that it was, like, gelatinous.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, well, but anyway, what else
both,
is new?
We both hope them well and hope that they come back because I love raw food, but I don't like raw food in December.
Understandable. Another place that I've been loving that I keep starting to write and I keep writing an ode, so I mean, that's a good thing, but is, and I don't know if you've been yet, is the Sizzle Pie by one of the old owners of Tube.
I went there.
Ah, how's your Thin Crust Pizza?
Well, you tell me about yours first.
Okay. Well, I've been like a dozen times.
Okay.
I have to say, I find myself there a lot. You know, I mean, I'll say blah, 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 being from New York, you know, there's something about going to a pizzeria and eating a slice of thin crust pizza. I've had a couple slices that are, the crust is too crispy, like it's to the point of being really overcooked
crackery.
On the top. Yeah, crackery on the top. But pretty much everything else I've had there has just been excellent, and I like the attention to detail in this place in regards to the actual location and the slices, and they have these specialty vegan ingredients, a couple of which I could do without, but that are able to go on to, you know, the omnivorous and the vegetarian pies as well, like the cashew pesto sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think their Drugs Benedict vegan brunch slice is awesome.
It's a tofu scramble in it?
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of attention to detail, I really like their countertops. Their concrete countertops. At the place where you can get your drinks, they have an integrated sink, which is just gorgeous. And
I know you're talking about. Yeah, I love the paneling. I don't know what you would call that. I mean, I would leave it to you to describe this.
I thought that it was pizza boxes or like stacked because they're about an inch and a half, but they just did a screened wall with varying size. Can't remember their varying size of. It's like 2x2.
This is what
people
around Webley for.
Anyway, sorry.
Geek out.
But the light comes behind it. It's all pretty. Blah, blah, blah. Yes, it was good. But I had a salad when I was there. Probably something you haven't had.
No, I have. I've actually gotten their salad and slice combo many times. The Caesar and the rabbit salad.
Yeah, I got their rabbit salad. And I think it was like to serve four people. And it was just for me.
Oh, really? So you're saying it's small sizes?
Well, it's... My frustration with salads. When I eat a salad, I want to take, like, the largest mixing bowl you can find and make a salad out of it. Like, that is a dinner salad to me, not, like, two handfuls of lettuce.
Oh.
And this that I had, it was, like, in between those two. It almost filled me up.
So this is the large size?
Yeah. Okay. It was a good-sized salad, but it wasn't large enough for a full meal. But
I can see that.
It was good, though. I enjoyed it. I just didn't like that I was being served on a pizza pan. They
do that with the slice and salad combo too. I actually like that. I don't know if I've ever seen that before, besides, you know, pizzas being served on those.
I just don't like eating on aluminum.
Yeah,
that was my
cling,
deal.
Cling,
like,
cling, cling, cling.
Well, it's just, yeah.
But I like that salad. That's the salad I prefer of the two. And
good.
I really like how they have the sweet peppers in it. I could do it at the Baco's, but whatever. So, but the slice and salad combo is really good because you get a slice, anyone you want, and the salad for $6. So
it's not too bad.
Yeah, and it's just like just enough food to like fill me up. Yeah. So, but my appetite's kind of weird sometimes.
I wish they had all you can eat.
Well, you know they're working on a gluten free crust too.
No, so. I didn't know that.
Hopefully, you'll be able to have some pizza there soon.
Hopefully, I've kind of given up on pizza. I mean, it's kind of like you do when you first go vegan, you know?
Yeah.
There's certain things, like bread, like sandwiches, you can't really
think of. You had the portobello gluten-free crust?
Not yet.
I'd say wait some time. Wait some time before you have it.
Okay.
I haven't tried it yet, but the gluten-free friends I do have who've tried it like mm-hmm. it. But again, they've been without for so long.
Yeah.
So have you been in Just Thai recently with their price upgrade, management change?
I have, but I've not been since their new change.
What's their new change?
They've now increased their portion sizes again.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
So I have to say, I was there last week. It was smaller than ever.
Wow.
So.
No, I think it was last week or this last, yeah, just this last week that they changed back to full size.
Maybe I was there the day before they switched again. Huh. It was sad.
Have you been to Jin yet?
No, I haven't. I mean, because I make, because the dish that you love there is one that I make, so I haven't, I just haven't gone to the cart.
You gotta try it. You gotta try
it. It's too trendy for my taste, Webley.
So good. All
right, I'll go. We'll go. We'll go when it's a nice spring day and we'll eat gin together.
Well, I can't eat there. That's why I want you to go. Because there's coconut in it.
I'll live for you.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. So I have a review coming up of, Cuba de Cubo. Have you been there?
No. Where is that?
So it's on Washington between Alder, Southwest Washington between Alder and...
Oh, a cart.
Yes.
Yeah. A cart. Wow.
Imagine that, us doing a food review cart. Or cart review. Food. Whatever.
When we just had the umami, so we're on a roll here with that block.
Yeah. It's just simple beans and rice, and you can get like a side of like fried plantains or like sweet potato fries.
Awesome.
It's pretty simple, and it was like $6. And
I mean, hey, we people eat bowls all the time.
But they're like, the beans are seasoned really nicely, and, you know, it was a decent meal for $6, or five, I think it was $5, actually.
And beans and rice, you know, a little healthier than some other things you'd be eating downtown.
And then you like, stuff your face with, like, some fried yams, sweet potatoes,
yeah, I left those out of my first statement.
Yeah. It's good, though.
That's cool.
Very simple meal, but I've got that review coming up. It's just... hiding somewhere.
Well, there's a new place that's opened by my neighborhood that's one of these new pop-up places, which is kind of happening more and more near, is the Chick Sticks. And it's kind of it's like chicken and whatever on sticks, but they have one that's like the vegan stick, and it's like some type of tofu or soy, like.
Okay.
So it's been on my to-do list for a while, and they take over this little sushi bento place at 26 and Division at night. Hmm. Because I know the Boki Bowl, similarly, is like a ramen place that's been popping up in kind of nicer restaurants now.
Yeah.
They take it over for lunch, and they used to be doing dinners, and they did them at like the Globe on Belmont, and they have a vegan one.
So. Interesting.
One day I hope to go to that. And been on my to-go back list has been Off the Griddle at Southeast 50th and Division. For some reason, I just can't stand that car pod, but I like this cart, and the first burger I tried had a lot of potential.
What is it?
It's a solar-powered veggie burger cart.
Okay.
They have different vegetarian
and
different...
That was me rolling my eyes how Portland that is.
That was me fanning myself. I'll do the other side of it, where I'm like, wow. So the first burger I had was the smoky blue cheeseburger. And the burger itself, kind of bland and mushy.
Yum.
Needed seasoning.
Can't wait.
But the tempeh bacon on it was, like... fantastic.
And
you're
a huge
fan
of smokiness of anything.
Well,
and tempeh bacon.
I've had some bad tempeh bacon though, so I know what I'm talking about. But I like this cart. They do, they've got a lot of specials. It's a little pricier. Maybe I'd go in the summer. There just aren't a lot of carts that I go to now.
Yeah.
Because again, so 2 years ago.
Oh, really? You're over it?
Yeah. I hear that restaurants are big now.
Oh, wait, what? What is it?
Restaurants?
What's that?
Or food courts?
Food court.
We're trying to keep up with the times. If you know what's hip right now, let us know. We'll get on it.
So what's a restaurant?
Something where they have a kitchen, and then you pick from a menu, and then you get to sit
like
down and not wait
box?
In the rain.
Oh. Oh, it's so like you walk inside the food cart?
Yeah.
There wouldn't seem like there'd be very much room in there.
Well, no, I'm not going to say anything more though, because I don't want to make fun of restaurants and food carts too much. Wembley's getting mean.
I'm not mean.
No, I'm kidding. Well,
we're just playing.
But yeah,
we love both restaurants and food carts.
Yeah, in regards to the rain and the food carts, our last review that's posted of Imami's Ethiopian, I have to say I went there on like a freaking downpour, and I did not mind because that food is so good. So
yeah, that place is pretty good. But they have coconut in their food.
And only once I tasted the coconut in the greens, and the other time it was like more spiced with like a chili oil.
Mm.
And then the next time I tasted the chili oil too.
Huh.
So
yeah, because when I had it, it was definitely the coconut.
Yeah, I remember you said that. And then the first time it was not like that for me, and then the next I'm like, okay, like I get, like it was like the flavor was present.
Hmm.
So maybe they switch up how they do their gomen. I don't know, I pronounced that horribly. But
I guess I should go back and ask.
You had an Ethiopian besides that recently?
No, I don't eat much Ethiopian because I don't eat fermented food, and you know, teff is fermented, so stay away from it.
And unfortunately, they do are one of the places with gluten-free injera.
I know. It's a pain in the ass. Tell me about it.
Any other exciting recent eats, Webley?
I don't think so. I just have been all about, I don't even know if I should mention this.
Go on.
So I have a special cart downtown.
Okay. Oh, go on.
It is my $2 cart. I get brown rice and vegetables for $2, and then they give me a side of sauce.
Is this Thai basil?
For $2. I'm not going to say the name of the place.
Okay.
But I will say...
Is it off the menu that you're getting this?
It's totally off the menu.
Okay. So if you say this, they're going to change it, and then it's going to be like $7.
I know. That's why I'm not going to say the name of the place.
And they're going to call it, like, Vegan's Dream.
Yeah. But you can go to... You can try, like, going to any vegan cart you want and just asking for, like, some brown rice and vegetables and see what they do. And it might be really cheap. Or it might be $6. Who knows? But I have a special place I go to, and I've been really into it because it's, like, the only thing that doesn't make me crazy these days. I'm really trying to get my food allergies under control. I'm just having a difficult time with it. So
I'm
that's
trying
why
to see how life is like. I don't...
So
where do you live?
I mean, you and I have both been traveling a lot. Like, I've been in Dallas and Chicago and New York recently. And
I just came back from Seattle last week for a bit.
And you've been
so.
All over the place. And so it's just, like, food reviews have kind of slowed down a little bit because we've both been all over the place. And, you know, I haven't been writing very many because I can't really eat anything anymore. So.
And I have food writer's block when I don't want to look back on reviews I wrote 3 years ago. And I want updates and updates.
So many things to update, too.
I know.
So many things change.
But... We'll talk more about that.
But we're keeping up to date. Anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I've actually been frequenting Cafe Yum for lunch, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Yeah.
And I actually like the tempeh bento the most, and I don't understand how some of their produce is like should be served. And
what's wrong with it?
Again, watery tomatoes.
Ew.
That type of thing.
Tomatoes should not
and
be
sometimes
eaten
sometimes I have to get their jasmine rice because I feel like they don't cook their brown rice well enough.
Mm.
But... I love their tempeh bento for, like, $6.95. Like, you get, like, a ton of rice, the tempeh skewer, and the teriyaki sauce, the yum sauce, and then the cabbage slaw.
Hmm.
And it gives me, like, you know, two lunches. So it's very... And I like that I can walk in there, order, get my food within, like, 5 minutes.
It's fast food. Isn't that weird?
It's great. I mean, there's another one coming, the third in Morrison. It's exciting to see something like this. I don't see why they're not all vegetarian, but...
It's hard to pay $7 for a bowl.
Yeah, that's why I get the bento meal.
Yeah.
Because I feel a little bit better about it. But their other bowls, they don't do it for me, really.
Hmm. Yeah, I've been making yum sauce at home and just, like, freezing it and just making it to my likes, basically. Because they have they have almonds in there. Do you know
that? Well, it's enough that it doesn't.
Avoiding that? Okay.
Yike. And I don't, like, pour the sauce on.
There's cashews, another one, so I gotta avoid that. So I just, basically, I make my own and then eat it by a spoon. No, just kidding.
But since it's getting nicer out, I feel like I can walk further to places. And I went to Prasad for dinner the other night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they use salt. But
you don't think they use salt at
They
all?
May not. I don't know.
I don't know. I was just there on Friday for lunch.
Oh.
My
favorite. Thursday night.
My dragon bowl.
I say I had the mighty bowl with the peanut sauce, but I
don't like their peanut sauce that much.
I don't dislike it. I actually do like it compared to some of the other sauces I've tried.
Like the lemon tahini one. Good.
Yeah, but I just don't like to get tahini like on a warm thing sometimes.
Interesting.
But I think their quinoa is just so fluffy and wonderful.
Yeah.
And I like their chili hot sauce a lot.
I haven't had that.
But Yeah, I find that I have to, like, do that, and it's not my taste buds, like, dying. Please, no. But, like, there's something that just, maybe it's just a little too plain for me. But with that, I wanted to say next weekend is the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale at Food Fight. It's going to be in their garage next door, so, you know, go on and donate to that, or
Did the distillery move out?
Yes. Okay. I think last, not too long ago, maybe.
I haven't seen any activity over there.
Yeah, well, I went last year for the taping of the Vegan with Zombies trailer.
Yeah.
And so it was in there, and the distillery wasn't there. But I would say, you know, go to that bake sale, drop off some goods, and pick up some goods for charity.
Goods for charity.
Goods for charity. How can you go wrong with that, you know? You can't.
No.
So with that, we're the Stumptown Vegans. Find us at www.stumptownvegans.com. You can download our podcast on iTunes. Subscribe to us.
You can email us at stumptownvegans@gmail.com.
You can see where we're having lunch and following us at Stumptown Vegans. We're on all the social medias. I don't know which ones are relevant right now, but find them, like them, fan us.
Fan us. Think we're the best.
Follow us.
You can call our voicemail line.
Because we're just here to be resourceful.
You can call our voicemail line, but we don't have a voicemail, so...
I'll just give out my phone number.
Have fun finding our number, and I'll have fun at some point trying to figure out how to hook that up into our
deal. You know, email us or tweet us or whatnot, however you want. You know, find us in the street if you think you recognize us. And let us know, do you have any tips? Any places that we should be checking out that you think are not getting enough attention, and so we'll write about them. And
DC Veg, you should do a review on that one.
Well, at least handing over the sandwich cart.
Maybe
we'll do a live review, we'll see.
A live review?
I don't know, I just made that up, but we could do that.
Okay.
Podcast 19, live review. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yum,
delicious,
yum, yum.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. Crispy Satan, chomp, chomp, chomp. Thanks for listening.